The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Loveline. Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Loveline. The world's therapy couch since 1984. Loveline. Dr. Drew Pinsky. Medical doctor, philosopher, philanthropist, certified addiction specialist, the king of transformational media.
Mike
Catherwood, a former addict, current fitness guru, the ringmaster of a psychosexual addictive personality, Big Top.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Yes, get on with it.
Yeah. Anderson should be ready with that.
Well, he is.
He's got a lot to do with the beginning
of
the show,
to be fair. 8 out of 10 times.
You live.
We only do, well.
I said you live bitch once, and people love that.
You live. You live.
Well,
yes!
The character says that, too. They've edited that out.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing is, like, a little bit longer.
We need to hear the whole thing sometime. Oh, what gets dropped?
We can.
How about you watch the movie sometime, Drew?
No, I have. I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you watch it again then, there, pal?
Well, and also watch the scene that we've emailed to you.
No,
like,
I know.
The entirety of it.
All right.
But he says, suck my balls.
Yeah.
But I know we could say that on Loveline.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you and I could say that. It is dicey if it's a...
Is it?
I don't know. He says, suck my...
Okay. You know, all right.
And then he... Because he doesn't say the D word.
Mm.
And then he says, yeah... Yes, something's...
Yes!
Bitch. Yes, you live. You live. Yes!
It makes you so happy.
It's the best. I said it on Kevin and Bean this morning.
Oh, my goodness. How'd that go?
It was good.
Did you play the tape, too?
No.
You just said the thing.
Yeah, they don't... I was doing the Psycho Body, which is where I do health and fitness
tips.
Yes. And Bean's like, Mike, if you had one... if you had one question that comes up the most around the holidays, what would it be? And I said, it's probably white meat, dark meat. We'll all be carved. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. We just had the guys on the podcast right now. We just finished doing it from Craft Vapery.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's an interesting world. The whole
I'm learning about that. I really am not an expert in that area at all, but it's always seemed to me like a viable alternative.
I agree.
Call me crazy.
I'm the cultivator of Craft Gapery.
Yes,
Andrew,
yes, you are.
You've
shared all that craftsmanship with me many times.
Is gummy worms the new winner?
Yeah, you win. You live.
You live. I got that tweeted to me, so I got to give the guy credit.
We're goofing around a lot tonight, but it's a hairy night out there, everybody. So stay safe. I don't know about you, but I'm very concerned about what?
Safety?
What's going on in these various towns? Yeah, I'm worried about Ferguson. I've been reporting it tonight on HLN, and
yeah.
it doesn't look great. It's very troubling, very troubling. And here in Los Angeles, I drove through about 100 highway patrol cars. I've never seen so many highway patrol cars in my life.
I didn't know it was that dicey.
And helicopters all over the place.
Yeah.
So
I just did not know it was that. I mean, I guess I assumed a lot of the chaos I dealt with earlier today was from that big long standoff car chase thing.
No,
where the guy was on the roof, and then
did they get that guy? By the way,
I don't know.
Okay. It's all Ferguson stuff. So
yeah.
Anyway, I wish people the best. I understand the frustration. I get it. I don't think you need to resort to criminal activity.
Well, I don't understand where it gets you.
Yeah, it just destroys your little community, and there'd be less jobs and more people avoiding the town.
Yeah.
And what does that do? I don't understand.
Well, maybe it's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's to open people's eyes. I mean, look, let's be honest here. The L.A. riots of 92 got O.J. off, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, remember when Rodney King got O.J., made it so O.J. got away with murder? And that's really what happened. It's like most people were probably so effing concerned that there could be a reoccurrence of that O.J. Simpson skated. What are the chances that, you know, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's impossible to know what it's like to be, I guess, objectified. I mean, you know what I'm saying? To feel for someone above and beyond just the actual occurrence, like someone gets killed, a policeman kills another person.
Yeah,
you have a connection to that far beyond just that actual incident.
Yeah.
It's that it represents something that you feel maybe has been occurring in this country for a long time. Yeah. And I don't know how to possibly put myself in that situation other than I could say, like Drew said, what does it really – I can understand wanting to open people's eyes, but what does it get you to destroy things and commit crime? It's only going to make things worse. It really is only going to make things worse, not only for the imagery of people around you, but just for your own community. It's just – it's a bad – it's a lose-lose. Do you want to talk about something fun tonight during the open forum to maybe wash our palates out?
Sure, sure.
I was thinking of accidental farting during sex.
Or how about sounds? Adventitious sounds during sex. All kinds. Right?
How about the most embarrassing fart you've ever laid?
But that's so far outside the interpersonal.
That's not – what do you mean?
You know,
there's
it affects
no
other people, but romantic.
No,
it's outside
thing.
The romantic.
There's no such thing as a fart that's embarrassing that isn't interpersonal.
No, I understand, but it's not. It's outside the romantic realm. Most of the horrible stuff is outside
romantic. But, Drew, how hard are you going to laugh when girls call up and they're like, you wouldn't believe I was on my driving test. I was 16 years old, and it just squeaked out. Like, I mean, that's gold. That's radio.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Most embarrassing fart you ever laid.
All right.
Sandy, hello.
Sandy? There she is. Sandy.
Hello. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. What's up?
Hi. So I have a cousin who struggling with a drug addiction for years. I'm pretty sure. I've never really been told, like, for sure. I'm pretty sure it's meth. So I've told him recently. He was staying with me for a few months. Made him leave after a while because, you know, he wasn't really getting it together. I've told him recently that, you know, I don't really want to help him unless he's serious about getting help for himself. But it's just really hard. He still calls. My mom lives with us, so he'll call. He'll text my mom. You know, he wants to come over, you know, just for dinner, or he needs gas money.
Any money you give him, any money you give him is
gas money.
Right. Any money you give him is going towards drugs.
I know that, and I refuse to give him any money. You know, it's hard to control what other people do.
Right.
My mom is her godson, so it's really hard for her to just shut him out. But the thing is, you know, like he says, he's not using right now. Like I told him, unless you're sober, unless you're getting sober, you know, I don't want to help you. So he'll text me and say, hey, I'm sober. You know, can I come hang out? I don't want to be alone. He's going through a divorce, so I know he's having a lot of issues, but I don't know at what point it's helpful for me to just cut him off and say, I'm not going to have anything to do with you unless you're getting sober.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not helping anything. You reject the disease, you support the sobriety.
Okay. So the fact that I'm saying nothing to do with you unless you're taking your sobriety seriously, that's not hurtful to him. It's just helpful.
That is... Yes. Otherwise, you're loving him to death.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So go to Al-Anon if you need help. It's very hard to do on your own. So that's why Al-Anon is such a critical program to help people stand firm and do the right thing. And there are intermediate steps in some aspects of the relationship that you just can't navigate without somebody there with you who understands this.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I know my mom's been through Al-Anon. Father was an alcoholic.
Great. So. Great.
You know, she went through that, but I mean, I think it's he's like a child to her. So
yeah.
But
and every mother's fantasy is that if I don't do something, this child's going to die, and the addict plays like crazy on that fear.
Yeah, he definitely does that. So should I stay firm unless he's trying to get into a program? Like, even if he says, "Well, I'm sober. Can I come over and have dinner?" Like,
no. If he comes to your house directly from a meeting. With a sponsor and a sponsor's name that you could talk to if you needed to talk to somebody? Okay, maybe.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
All right.
Thank you
so much.
No problem. Hello, Michael.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew and Mike?
Hey, yeah.
I've got a question pretty much pertaining to Lexapro. I've been taking it for 2 months for anxiety.
Yeah.
I've just been noticing some sexual side effects, like just loss of sex drive.
That's it. That whole category will do that.
It's part of the downside. I experience it, too. I take Lexapro.
Yeah. You think I should just keep taking it or, like...
Discuss it with your doctor. There are other things you could be taking that don't have that side effect. but you need to discuss, you know, what those are.
They said Lexapro is like kind of like the lesser version of SSRI.
It is. It's the milder version. That means you're very sensitive to SSRI, so maybe you have to try a different class.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Right.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe other things aren't good for you, and you just got to go back. I mean, this is what happened to me.
Therapy.
Then I went back to it, and I had to say, you know, put them on the scales and really weigh out the dividend and consequence. Was the somewhat minimal lessening of my libido, I know other people have it much more severe, but it was, you know, a minimal lessening of my libido. Was that worth a drastic improvement in my mood? And I said yes, so I continued to take it. That's your call, though. I'm not.
And by the way, it ended up helping. You went from being a quick draw McGraw to like a normal citizen.
Yeah, I did. And I will say, though, that the mega downside to the side effects I felt have been mostly with libido, not with performance.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, the only thing I've really noticed is it just kind of like I haven't been in the mood too much and the orgasm.
That's libido.
That's it. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
There are other things. But and again, nothing's perfect. So you got to work with your doctor.
Yeah. Listen, drugs are not.
Yeah.
Drugs are drugs.
Every medication can kill you, including Tylenol. And every medication has side effects, and the side effects are protein. They're all over the place.
That's why you always got to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Drew,
you always got to
figure out some way besides drugs until you get to the point where drugs are necessary.
You only take medication when the risks are worth it, number one. And then number two, you can't be objective about it. You have to have an objective observer. Doing it for you, you know, a physician, whatever. And then, you know, when it comes to psychotropic medication, the long-term goals are to get off these things, and so you do psychotherapy.
Okay.
All right.
And honestly, my doctor said like Lexapro is kind of something I probably should be on for like a long time, like a couple of years. Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, that treatment usually is that long. So again, this is something are you working with a psychiatrist?
No, I was on a regular therapist, and then I went to a doctor.
Why don't you get an expert opinion? See a psychiatrist.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you,
dude. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I'm listen. The most embarrassing fart you've ever laid.
I have a feeling people. I think this country is upset tonight. I really do. I think a lot of people are jacked up.
I think
upset.
It's reasonable.
Yeah, it is. And I think people are on edge. I think people are worried, and I think people feel bad.
Well,
so you're going to cleanse their palate, okay?
Yeah, and listen. Sometimes I'll admit it. It's sophomoric, but sometimes that's what people like and want. Mm. I know that works for me. I listen. I went on like a binge of that Maggie Gyllenhaal show on Sundance.
Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot the name of it because I binge watched it. I didn't like watch it.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent television show. Everyone should watch it. It's about the Israeli situation, Gaza, West Bank.
Yes.
And Palestinian kind of tension. Not exactly an upper, though.
Yeah.
I had to watch like 15 episodes of South Park after that to cleanse. I had to. And tonight is South Park for you.
Did you see the sea fights?
Sea magic
sea magic.
Maybe the best thing I've ever seen. What's up behind your ear, little girl?
Amazingly, Randy.
Yeah. What's up behind your ear? Oh, it's that's a penis. Ah, it's my penis.
Just to give a highlight, at one point Cartman goes, "Oh yeah, it's cool." Stan's dad showed up, froze his penis, and shot it off.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Helping people get unscrewed up for 30 years.
Dr. Drew is the best.
No lecturing, no sermonizing.
Loveline will be right back.
Come with me inside the machine and I'll show you.
Hey, I'm Jake.
And I'm Amir. And we're from that appropriately named web series, Jake and Amir.
We're also the voices of If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet. Hosted by us.
That's right. Every week we offer our personal insight to real problems submitted to us by real people, and sometimes even our comedy friends join, like Ben Schwartz, Thomas Middleditch, and Allison Williams.
The important thing is the advice is often pretty bad,
but hopefully always funny.
So go to podcastone.com and hit that download button to hear our terrible but hopefully funny advice.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be right back.
You live.
You effing live. Bitch. Hello, Christina.
Hello.
Hi.
What's happening?
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey now.
What can we do for you?
So I have a question. So I am a thyroid cancer survivor.
Jesus.
And
what kind?
Thyroid cancer.
Papillary. Okay.
Which was
which is quite
spread to my lymph nodes.
Right.
And so I had my thyroid completely removed, and now I'm on supplements, levothyroxine.
Right. So papillary thyroid cancer is relatively benign. You stay on replacement, and it never grows. That's good.
Correct. But mine grew from 2 centimeters to 5.5 centimeters in 2 months.
I wish mine would.
Where, you mean one of your lymph nodes?
It went in my lymph nodes, correct.
No, what grew? In your thyroid it grew? Or
the cancer.
In the thyroid it grew, or in one of the remaining lymph nodes it grew?
No, my thyroid cancer grew into my lymph nodes.
On replacement, you mentioned the size of the tumor going from 2.9 to 5.5. That was in the gland of the thyroid, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And that's when they decided to remove it, correct?
So they removed my thyroid completely.
Got it. Okay.
And so I take supplements for not having a thyroid. And it's supposed to, on top of that, I take Prozac. And it's supposed to make your libido very low. But with me, it's extremely high.
So wait, hang on a second. So the Prozac elevated it or it was already high?
No, I think it's the thyroid issue that has elevated it.
No. But what both those medicines, though, can cause mania. And sometimes, paradoxically, either or both of those medications can cause high sex drive by inducing sort of a manic episode.
Well, the problem is I enjoy the high sex drive. However, I can't orgasm unless I masturbate.
So masturbate.
Well, I do, but it's not fun. I would rather have an orgasm from my partner.
You mean, okay, you can't have a vaginal orgasm, like in the canal, or you can't have one even if
I just can't have one. I mean, he can do everything possible, and it's so hard. It's so much work to try to have an orgasm.
Yeah, okay, so when he's going down on you, the same thing?
Same thing.
Okay, but okay, I mean, it's like, wow, what are we going to do here? You can have an orgasm during sex, but you have to masturbate. Okay, well, you know.
No. Masturbating alone is when I have an orgasm. If I'm having sex with a guy, I cannot have an orgasm.
Even if you're also...
Not that I can't. It just takes a really, really long time.
Even if you're simultaneously playing with your clitoris while you're having sex.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So I've had the opposite effect of most thyroid cancer survivors, but with the high sex drive, I still can't enjoy it.
I think this is a unique case. You got to talk to your endocrinologist or your
no.
Or your,
no? I she's not listening, so it's hard for me to talk.
Okay,
are you ready to listen?
Yeah.
Okay, the Prozac is causing the difficulty with the orgasm, for sure. Okay. It typically does that. In some cases, it can drive up your sex drive, and that's a concern when it does that. Because that means you're heading towards a little manic episode. So whoever's prescribing that Prozac, hopefully it's a psychiatrist, because they need to you're proving yourself to be a complicated case. The average doctor should not be prescribing for you. Your thyroid medicine has nothing to do with any of this, unless they're giving you – are they giving you a big dose?
I take 350 milligrams.
Okay. So it's a big dose. So that, too, can induce these sort of manic-type symptoms. So I really would strongly urge you to see a psychiatrist, A, so they can maybe put you on a mood stabilizer. Maybe some of these medicines aren't right for you. And
okay.
B, deal with the delay, you know, the difficulty having orgasm. But the average physician, you know, a general practitioner, internist, is not going to be able to navigate that particularly well. You want an expert to do that because you're a complicated case and you want to be free of these symptoms. And you can't adjust the thyroid because that is of life-threatening importance to you.
All right. Thank you, Christina. Dustin.
Yes.
Yo.
How's it going?
Pretty good, brother.
I love you, Mike.
I love you more, Dustin.
But this question is for Dr. Drew.
Okay.
No, just pretend you're talking to Mike, and I'll just answer it.
Okay, Mike.
Yes.
I started dating an adopted, like, a woman who was adopted when she was, like, a little baby. And I just wanted to know if there's anything I should, like, watch out for or any, like, psychological things that she might be going through. Because she seems completely fine about it.
She may be.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't overthink it.
I think with adoption, you can run the gamut.
Yeah, adopted kids are at higher risk of some things. But, you know, if she has no symptoms and is not complaining, don't look for trouble.
So there couldn't be, like, anything, like, underlying that I should be careful of? Or
no.
I mean, no more or less than you would with any other human being, you know?
All right, cool. That's all I wanted to know.
All right, brother. Thank you for
the call.
Guys. No problem.
Yep.
Hello, Tim.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, nothing. I had a question about, you guys have probably heard this 10 million times, but can my girlfriend get pregnant if we have sex while she's on her period?
Always a good question, I think.
She can, but it's obviously less likely.
Okay, because she says that she cannot and will not, and she's 100% certain she will not.
Well, she's wrong.
Not 100%.
Your girlfriend is very dumb and not a doctor.
Well, I mean, she'll there is literature that suggests it's pretty darn good, but
no, listen,
I would not count on it.
The chances are much lower, dramatically lower. But anyone to say she absolutely cannot, she's positive, is someone who's wrong and dumb.
How many times have you guys been answered that question specifically?
Oh, probably once every week or two for the last 30 years.
But I will say I don't think it's a bad question. It doesn't matter how many times people ask it. That's a valid question.
Well, it's the fact that it has been so frequent in the last 30 years shows you how many people are what?
Pullout method is a pretty frequent question, and it doesn't give it any validity.
Right, that's the same zone. Right?
Yeah, I know, but my point is that Tim is asking a question that has been asked many times. I don't think that's a dumb question. There's plenty of questions that happen all the time that are freaking dumb.
True.
All right. Tim, I was just kidding, by the way. Your girlfriend's not an idiot. I was just making hyperbole.
I've probably heard like 80% of the times that people have called and asked that question, but now that it applies to me, I had to call one more
time. That's so funny. That's interesting. Well, happy to answer it.
All right, dude.
Yeah, take care. Thanks.
No problem. Let's see here. Uh-oh. Hello, Sam.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. So my brother overdosed on a combination of Lexapro, hydroxyzine, ibuprofen, and he was heavily intoxicated at the time.
Alcohol. And when you say he overdosed, what happened?
He got really drunk, and then I don't know if through the night he was, you know, popping pills, Lexapro, ibuprofen. But
Lexapro and ibuprofen
and Vistril,
ibuprofen
and hydroxyzine.
Okay,
mm-hmm. None of those will kill you,
but
alcohol. Well, aspirin can, but alcohol will. Alcohol can easily kill you in overdose.
Yeah. Well, this was all through the whole night. I ended up finding him slumped over. He was completely out. He made a few phone calls actually 30 minutes before. That's how actually I got the notification. He called his friend, but he just said, sorry, never mind, I'm drunk, and hung up. And when I went to his room, he was slumped over, you know, calling paramedics. They sent to the hospital. He had 3 seizures back to back.
Jesus.
Okay, this is all alcohol. This is all alcohol.
Yeah.
So he aspirated. Yeah. He aspirated for an alcohol overdose. Okay.
Yeah, and he had, at some point, he had a heart attack as well.
Yeah.
While he was in ICU.
Yeah.
So he was hospitalized for 9 days. And, so the problem now is, yes?
We didn't say anything.
Oh, no, the problem now is that he has memory issues. He's definitely still a bit off. It's been 3 weeks since he got discharged. But he's back on Lexapro. His psychiatrist put him back on Lexapro. Mm-hmm. And he started smoking weed recently.
Yeah, he's a drug addict. He's an alcoholic drug addict. So
yeah.
Someone needs to get him treated, right?
And I guess the question I have is, like, I'm kind of at this point, I don't know what to do exactly. None of this has ever happened before. So
well, go to Al-Anon so you understand how to deal with somebody with addiction.
And what is that?
A program called Al-Anon. It's for family members, loved
Al-Anon.
Ones of addicts, alcoholics.
Okay.
This is straight up addiction. And it needs to be, you know, he may have some other psychiatric stuff alongside of it, but the addiction needs to be treated.
Yeah, because he says he has a social anxiety disorder.
No, stop it.
Hey,
listen.
Sam, please listen to Dr. Drew. This is serious.
He almost died of his alcoholism. It needs to be treated. I don't care what else he has. Nothing else can even be properly diagnosed till he gets off drugs and alcohol for 6 months in a program and really is working hard at it. His alcoholism just nearly killed him. Let's do something about that.
Absolutely. No, that's exactly what I want to do. I guess I wanted information of where I can take him to, you know.
He's not going to go anywhere unless he wants to on his own. So what you need to do, Sam, is to worry about yourself and go to Al-Anon.
Go to Al-Anon, alert his psychiatrist you want a referral, you know, and you want to get, and he needs to get treated. You know, and you have leverage. He's living with you guys, or he has money, he's dependent on you guys. Do what you got to do. Leverage him into treatment. His treatment program is all over the place. Just get him to AA meetings and, you know, get him going.
Al-Anon, all right?
Al-Anon's for you.
So
you know how to deal with alcoholics addicts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, good luck, man. I understand you're scared, but...
And ask at the Al-Anon program if you have some good treatment centers near you.
All right, will do.
All right, brother. 1-800-LOVE-191. Yes, I'm being serious when I say that our open forum this evening is most embarrassing fart you've ever ripped.
It's a palate cleanser for the misery that this country is suffering tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's been a rough couple days for Americans, and with the, you know, verdicts in Missouri. And so, look, we want to talk farts. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
Sorry, that number is no longer in service. You'll have to find a new boyfriend.
Loveline's coming back.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and if you want to rock, then you got to rock with me on Talk Is Jericho. I've got your rock and roll needs covered with some of the biggest guests in rock history, like Ace Frehley, Rob Zombie, Steel Panther, Rob Halford, M. Shadows, Scott Ian, Charlie Benanti, Dave Mustaine, Matthias Yabs, and of course my boys in Fozzy. Get your rock on right now with Talk Is Jericho. Download it now at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hello, Shane.
How you doing, buddy?
Hi.
How y'all doing?
I know.
Hi. First of all, I have to say, I love your guys' show. You guys, true, like, self-knowledge, like the commercial said.
Thank you. What's going
on? Thank you. I have no idea what commercial you're talking about, but we'll take it.
my mom has lupus, and I am trying to figure out if I produce a girl, what are the chances of her having it, considering it's more of like I'm assuming it's more of a female hereditary type deal.
It's a little higher in women. It's definitely higher in women. It's not hereditary so much as autoimmune disorders generally kind of have a hereditary pattern, but it's relatively low penetrance. So I wouldn't worry about that.
Penetrance.
Okay, cool. And then were you guys talking about the whole vapor thing, the e-cigarette thing?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Actually, you should listen to our most recent podcast, which will be up later tonight. We actually interviewed pretty in-depthly a new company that's done a lot of thorough and comprehensive research on it, and they have their own products called Craft Vapory. And Drew gets into more like the clinical stuff, and I talk about like the weird world of vaping right now. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy because I'm like over 100 days now, you know, stop smoking cigarettes. I'm part of the military, so I'm very proud of myself.
Right,
yeah,
well
nice,
done.
Man. That's congratulations.
But we do it. But I appreciate your guys' time and the information. Thank you.
You
guys.
Bet. Anytime.
Okay. Take it easy. Oops. Sorry. Hello,
I'll
Andrea.
I'll just say basically just get up.
Right, there you go. Now we're even. Okay. Thanks. Hello, Andrea.
Hey, guys.
What up, baby?
Okay. So about a week ago, I had the copper IUD Paragard inserted.
Uh-huh. That sounds like a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So I was just curious, do I have any risk if I have, like, rough sex or, like, deep penetration Does it run any risk of, like, affecting my uterus in any way?
Only if you have pain, right?
Excuse me?
Only if you have pain. I mean, pain is your indicator.
Yes.
Yeah, so as long as you're not having pain, you should be fine.
Because my only concern is my doctor told me to wait a week after insertion to inspect that all.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, so today was the first time I had sex since I had it inserted. And it was totally fine during, but afterward, I had, like, this weird
cramping,
sharp pain.
Yeah.
And it eventually went away after, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, you might have.
But that really scared me because we were, like, even kind of taking it easy.
It might have moved around a little bit. As long as you didn't get any bleeding or persistent pain, I would not. Has it been a week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much on that. Obviously, step your activity up slowly, okay?
Okay, awesome. Right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, baby.
Use your common sense.
Hello, Shelley.
Hi.
Hi.
I love you guys. I listen to you late at night. I had a question. I was single for a really long time. Of course, I got around a little. I've been married for a couple of years.
How long?
And I've got a problem.
How long?
I've been married 3 years.
You've been married 3 years. How old are you?
I'm 59, mid-50s.
And you got married in your 50s. Was it your first marriage?
Well, no. Oh, no. But I was single for a really long time, and I've had other sexual relations. So anyway, my problem is that I'm having a hard time getting him to initiate any foreplay whatsoever at all. Mm. I've tried to show him. I've tried to ask him. And he just is not. I don't know what it is. Just doesn't want to execute.
I'm not quite sure I heard what it is you want. You want him to initiate?
I want him to initiate. I want him to initiate anything. Oral, use your hand, do something, get me worked up.
Well, and so how does sex start with you guys?
Kissing and but there's nothing ever sexual.
So
He gets turned on. He gets on top. And
he jumps right to it.
Missionary style, okay. And you know.
And have you tried to explain to him what you need?
Yes, I have. And in fact, I think somebody prior to me, before we were married, told him he needed to read a book.
And what is what's his response to that?
They no longer dated.
Oh, so is that why you're not willing to speak up? Because you're fearful he's going to reject you too?
Well, no. I mean, I've tried, and sex is good when we have it. I just would like to be worked
up. Okay, I'm going
to
ask you again. Hang on. Listen, you claim you brought it up with him, and my question to you is, how did he respond to that request?
He'll use a little bit of foreplay, and the next time we're back to square one.
Okay, so that's no good. You must stop him and say, listen, this is what I need to be turned on. Otherwise, I'm turned off. This is not good. This is bad sex. This turns me off.
Okay.
You can't say something like that to him?
Well, I'm just worried that it would just shut down everything.
Why?
I just know him, and I.
How old is he?
Huh?
How old is this man?
60.
Okay, he's a grown-ass man. If he can't, I'm serious. If he can't tolerate his wife, who he made a commitment to, if he can't have her give him direct orders on what pleases her, then he's not holding up to his end of the bargain.
Well, I think it's just a sexual dysfunction from long ago. I don't know that he's ever been able to initiate.
He's initiating fine. He's selfish and he's not listening to you. This is not about initiating.
Yeah,
he's no problem initiating. He's going right to it. The problem is giving a crap about what you're experiencing and spending a little time. Maybe he doesn't like oral sex or something, but he's got to make all that clear to you, and you have to make it very clear to him. Most men are quite anxious to hear what it is you like and to please.
Okay. I've tried to show him. I mean, I've tried to, initiate and have oral with him, and he just doesn't enjoy
Shelley,
it at all.
Shelley, this turns me off.
This
is
not,
this is bad sex for me. Here's what I need.
Okay.
And if he can't tolerate that, then that's not a sexual dysfunction. That's
dysfunction.
That's an interpersonal dysfunction. It's an intimacy disorder. Not necessarily intimacy disorder, but that's difficulty with intimacy and with caring about your partner.
Right.
And you're entitled to be able to ask with somebody that you are close enough with to have sex, you are entitled to be very clear about your wishes. You're entitled to that. And he needs to listen. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. You bet.
Thank you. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's almost time for the open forum. Tonight, it's very heady stuff. The most embarrassing fart you've ever ripped. I'm serious. And I really encourage all females, all males to call up and just let us know that one time when you're like, damn, I can't believe that just happened. Everybody heard it. There was no escaping it. It was embarrassing. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. It's Loveline.
No longer limited to the coast-to-coast radio model.
That's true, Dr. Drew. We are now global and on demand.
Go to podcastone.com. We can download full shows right to your computer or phone and take us with you on your commute or even to work or to the gym, grocery shop, wherever you're going. Take it, download it.
The same old Loveline show that airs nightly on the radio near you. They're all now available whenever and wherever you want.
The free Loveline podcast only from Podcast One at podcastone.com.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Loveline will return right after these words of wisdom.
You mean more advertising?
Yes.
Yeah, Film Vault.
Very special Film Vault this week, Brian.
That's right. If you're not into film talk, you're in luck.
Talking about Christmas lists for the film lover.
Yeah, top five gifts for the film lover this week on the Film Vault. A gift guide, if you will.
We give you a good 12, maybe 13 solid picks, ranging in price, too, from like $9.99 up to $600.
That's right.
For the film lover in your life.
Whether that's you or that's someone you know, check it out.
That's on the Film Vault this week.
Podcast One.
That's Owenie.
Thank you for calling Loveline.
Hi. I had a question kind of about depression and emotions. A little backstory is my mother, like 4 months ago, diagnosed with Cushing's disease.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, she had Cushing's for 7 years, but she got her cancer again. That's what I mean to say. Her cancer came back. And that same week that her cancer came back, my father, he actually passed away of a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
And that same week, I just found my father, he was already gone. And
wait, you discovered his body?
Yeah, yeah. We were at a wedding, and he just all of a sudden, he was in the grass.
Oh, my God.
Wedding. And so we were at
Dude, you're 19?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm really sorry, dude. That is intense.
Yeah, it was kind of intense, but that kind of brings me to my question is I don't want to sound heartless or anything. It just from everything that's happened with my mom getting her cancer again and her Cushing's right now is really just like really attacking her and everything. I feel like I haven't felt any emotion. Like I didn't go through a grieving process almost.
Right. Well, Peter, it sounds like you're in survival mode right now. And that's what happens. People sort of go into numbing or shut down, and they just get through these things as a way of surviving. But there needs to be some sort of reckoning. There needs to be some point at which you kind of connect back to your feelings, or else this will have a consequence as depression or panic or something else will kind of emerge until the grieving.
So, am I going to just one day start, busting down tears? And
Maybe. Hard to say.
My wife... her father passed away in an untimely fashion, and she said it was about 6 months when it really, it was never fun to see her mother suffering or like to bury him, but as far as like that real kind of awakening emotionally to the fact that he's not coming back, she said it was about 6 months.
Yeah, it can be. It's different for different people. If it goes more than 6 months or so without some sort of connection to the grieving process, you really should talk to somebody.
I don't think you should beat yourself up. No. I mean, it is quite normal.
You're in a survival mode, yeah. And reasonably so, given all you've been through.
And it's in our DNA, dude. If we just crumbled up into balls every time someone in our inner circle died, we would never have continued as creatures. It's in our DNA. So my heart goes out to you, Peter. You're 19 years old. No one should have to deal with that, even as a grown man. And I stay strong and remember that your father, I guarantee it, whether he was the greatest dad in the world or a complete son of a bitch, he would want you to live a full and beautiful life regardless. So just keep your head up, all right?
All right,
dude. Okay. Thank you for the call.
Felt him having a little connection right there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too self-help guru stuff, but, you know, the one of the major tenets of Buddhism is that all human suffering is from staying attached to things that we no longer need, like this need to connect and hold on to things in the past. And
I've always had issue with that piece of Buddhism. Of course, if you never attach, you never grieve.
Sure.
But attaching to people and things is very meaningful.
I think the more kind of enlightened Buddhists understand that there are things that you intrinsically have to stay connected to, like a family death.
Yeah.
But a lot of things that we hold on to, we hold very near and dear to our heart, are utterly useless. In fact, counterproductive. Mm-hmm. Hello, Howard.
Hey, Dr. Drew and Mike.
Hey,
you guys are doing okay? I called you guys a couple weeks ago about my Vicodin and boner problems after I broke my leg skateboarding.
Oh, yes.
Vicodin and boner problems.
Exactly. It was awesome. So here's what happened. I was so upset by that I just decided to go with cold turkey and just stopped after a week and a half all the pain medication.
Ouch.
And just kind of dealt with the pain. The surgeon told me I was crazy. But up and about and doing okay.
The pain magically goes away, doesn't it?
It was like a day later.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Huh? And the surgeons, the pain specialists, they don't understand this. The pain is perpetuated by the pain medicine. You get off the pain medicine, magically the pain goes away.
And I guess this is one of the things I found out. So because of the particular type of injury that I had with my femur, the surgeon told me that I'm by maybe 20 to 25 years the youngest patient that he's ever had. So I guess one of the things is that the guy was not sort of geared up for somebody of my age or sexual appetites per se. So very, very interesting. So he said it's been a good learning experience for him too. But
we'll remind him about the hyperalgesia, because that's the main thing that we see all the time, which is these people get on these painkillers, they never get off because they're always in pain, and no one ever goes through those couple days you went through that are it's very uncomfortable, and then magically it subsides.
Well, after that experience, I guess I figured out that my penis is more important than my leg. So there you go.
I understand that's what your focus was, and I get it.
Hey,
all right.
Thank you guys so much, and happy Thanksgiving.
You bet.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, man. This is a good question. Hello, Nathan.
Hi there.
What's happening?
Drew, I've heard you talk a lot before about how alcohol withdrawal can be the one withdrawal that biologically can actually kill you quite easily.
Yep.
So what I'm wondering is, if I've been drinking to varying degrees for about a year straight, can I, and I'm looking to, you know, taper off, stop, what have you, can I not drink for one day and not worry about my heart stopping or something like that?
You better consult with a doctor about that.
Okay.
It's hard to say. I have some patients that drinking heavily, they can stop and don't have big withdrawal. Some patients drinking modestly, they stop, they have terrible withdrawal. So somebody needs to be at least paying attention to you.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, it's not like a lot of binging. It's sometimes one glass of wine a day and other times much more, you know, as it were. And so, you know, I'm ready to try to taper off, stop on my own, and if I can't, then I obviously need to, you know.
Well, I imagine the last 3 or 4 weeks have been more than a glass of wine a day, number one. Number two, tapering almost never works. And, and number three, if you're going to cut down, it needs to be at least supervised by a physician.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you for that.
You bet.
Hello, John.
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Dr. Drew, I had a quick question regarding fertility. My wife and I have been trying to have a second child, and I've been going on about 4 months now trying and haven't been successful. Just kind of wondering any ideas you might have regarding that and how to increase our options. Because I know our first month or two, she had just come off the IUD, so we were told that there was going to be a little bit of a lull for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of wondering if there might be other things that we can try.
What about the ovulation kits?
We've tried ovulation kits. We even tried a Chinese fertility calendar thing. Don't really know about that. She kind of looked into it.
Hey!
we tried the ovulation kits. We tried a couple of different things, having, you know, sex every other day.
I'm confused. I'm confused. She's been off the IUD for 4 months?
Yes.
2 months of which are a push because she just got off the IUD. So you've been trying to get pregnant for 2 months.
Well, it's actually been like 5 months now. So, yeah, I guess okay. 3 minus the 2 that, you know.
Okay, so 3 months you've been trying to get pregnant. Have right. you timed ovulation 3 months in a row?
Right.
You've timed ovulation for 3 months?
Yes.
And you were able to get in there within a day of ovulation and have sex repeatedly?
Yes. Now, I know her ovulation is a little bit off every month. It's not always on the same, I guess, time of the month from what she's mentioned. But we've been able to at least show when she's at her peak of ovulation and have
using
before, during, and after.
Using a kit.
Correct.
I would do that for about 6 months. And at that point, if still no results, then talk to a fertility doctor. Well, certainly talk to your gynecologist for sure, but then you might want to get a referral to a fertility specialist.
Now, what about, I know I've read and heard things like, you know, changing boxers and stuff like that. I mean,
well, yeah, you should hang loose as much as you can. It increases your sperm count maybe and sperm motility. How old is she?
She's the same age, 32.
Yeah, so, you know, fertility starts to drop off very quickly, so you got to get on this.
Okay.
All right?
Good.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Good luck, man, honestly.
Thanks.
It's almost time for the open forum. What's the most embarrassing fart you've ever laid? That is our that is our open forum topic. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I guess we're going to break.
I guess so.
Yeah. I'm doing some planning on it, but...
Yeah, I thought it'd be kind of neat to go to break on time once.
No, not the open
forum.
No,
we're early. That's not on time.
No, we're supposed to break at top of the hour, and it's a minute away now.
Yeah, I could have easily talked to Christine about yeast infection in that time.
What does she want to know?
Can't my boyfriend give me yeast infection? I knew that you could handle that very quickly.
Yeah, it's possible if he has it on his skin.
There you go, Christine, you're on.
No.
Hello? Hi.
It's possible if he has it on his skin. It's also possible for him to harbor it in their urethra, but it's not likely.
But can if he does have one, like, he's supposed to go get treated for it, or?
Do you see it? You can see it on his skin.
Oh, I would notice it on his skin.
Usually,
she
yeah.
can give it to him, though, right?
Not usually.
Nice. Well, because the thing is that I feel like I started getting them when I started having unprotected sex with him only. Because I've had unprotected sex.
And these have been diagnosed yeast infections, or you speculate you're having yeast infections?
No, I mean, I've been diagnosed. I went to the doctor and...
Do you have a FUPA?
She gave me a pill, and then...
Okay.
But then I was fine.
Stop it.
All right, so yes, yeast infections, sometimes anything can disturb the flora and fauna in there, and sometimes it's a certain person, you know, or use of a condom or something. And any of those things can do it, and that's just the way it goes.
That's God's way of saying don't have kids. All right, listen... It's time for the open forum. What's the most embarrassing fart you ever laid? That's it. Call us up. It's Loveline.
Insight.
Mother has old-fashioned ideas.
Well, I don't approve of it.
Here's tonight's open forum.
Yeah, it is time for the open forum. Things have been getting a little dark lately in this world, so we thought we'd brighten it up and talk about the most embarrassing fart you've ever laid. Drew, do you have any farts you'd like to check in with?
No, thanks.
Dick.
Thank you, but no.
Come on, you've had to have laid an embarrassing
fart. I'm sure I have, too. I'm not thinking of any right now, though.
I ripped a fart in Barney's of New York's elevator, and hot chicks got in. Right,
ooh,
and I was the only one in the elevator.
That's never
so
good.
It was like,
that's
clearly I made it poo smell.
I There's a famous story when Kimmel practically cleared out one of those rental car vans, you know, to take you from the terminal to
Yeah.
And he literally, like, destroyed the place and had to stand up in front of everybody and go, come on, everyone's an adult here.
That's the only way to handle it. You know, you can't succeed any other way. Art, start us off.
Hey, I was in English class in college.
Nope.
It was quiet. The professor was giving a lecture, and I had to sneeze.
Oh.
And I sneezed, and I farted at the same time.
Oh.
But, okay, could you have, holy crap, could you have possibly...
hidden it?
Well, I mean, it claimed that it was like the sound of the seat, or did he mask it with the sound of your sneeze?
Right. Well, apparently a couple students around me...
Couple.
Was like, was that a fart or a sneeze? The rest of the class was like, oh, he sneezed, because I sneezed pretty loud. But then... I guess it had a funk to it.
Uh-oh.
Because the professor was coming one by one to students to get their papers.
Uh-oh.
And he was kneeling down and giving comments on what you did wrong on your paper. And I guess he went to the kid right next to me, and he was literally talking to the kid, and I guess it hit his nose where he just stood up and, like, stopped in his tracks.
Oh, God.
And just started looking around. And I guess he blamed it on the kid behind me.
Oh, dude. Well,
but
thank you.
There's like
no. Hello, Charles.
Hey, what's going on, guys? First time caller, long time listener.
Thanks, buddy.
What's happening?
So, my story. I'm going to start off with first. I'm not afraid to lay out a big old fart in front of my friends, and I'm a big fan of Dutch ovening my girlfriend, my wife, my current wife now.
Good. That. No, you're a great man.
So, walking home, and I lived on the third floor of the apartments, and I was first going up, and my girlfriend was behind me at the time, and my roommate, best friend, and his girlfriend, and I just felt this big rumble in my gut, and I let out the hugest fart, knowing that it was going to land all of them going up the stairs. And it was a loud ripper, and right at the end, it turned into a shart. And was the crappy thing about it, it just dribbled down my leg.
Oh,
and
my!
Started laughing.
They knew it? They were aware of that?
Oh, I was wearing shorts.
Oh, my God.
So, it just dribbled all down the legs. And
where was this? Where were you?
I was heading into my apartment. I was on the first landing of the three flight of stairs.
Well, I mean, at least you have that to be thankful for. I mean, it could have been so much worse.
Everyone was laughing. Who?
My girlfriend, my best friend, and his girlfriend.
Jesus.
Thank God it wasn't like, oof.
Luckily, I was close to home, and I was able to jump in the shower pretty quick, but it turned into a big roll.
Luckily, you weren't in a plane there. Like I was the one time that happened.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. See, but that doesn't, sharting is a whole different ballgame. I mean, it's different. You know, it's not next level. It's different than the embarrassment of sharting is almost a different beast than the embarrassment of a big fart. Like when I splattered diarrhea inside my pants trying to impress Corolla, that was different because I didn't suffer any embarrassment of it because I hid it from people.
You quickly, it's hard to. There's a certain odor that follows you.
Well, he just left the room.
Didn't have access to a bathroom, it could have been a problem.
Yeah, sure could have. Hello, Brian.
Mike, Drew, you guys are mountains of men.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in seventh grade PE class, and it was raining. So we were all inside a gym. There were about three classes worth, and we were all doing sit-ups. And on an upstroke, I absolutely just belted one.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Seventh grade?
Yeah.
Sensitive age to be doing.
The entire gym just erupted in laughter.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's dude.
The kind of humiliation that you know what I'm thinking about this whole conversation? There's not a woman on earth who, A, appreciates this conversation, or B, also gets the humiliation of that 12-year-old male doing the sit-up.
Well, that's a special. I had a pretty good laugh out of myself, actually, I have to admit. So, I mean, what else can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
but stuck with
Jesus
you.
Jesus Christ.
It absolutely did stick with me. Yeah, see. Definitely.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
He'll get over it.
Live long and prosper. Most embarrassing fart you ever laid. Hello, Sarah. That's what I'm talking about, girls. Here we go.
Yes, well, I mean, so this is really embarrassing.
First off, why are you talking through a cheesecloth? Secondly, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Okay, you have utterly the worst phone that's ever existed.
I know. I think it's my phone case.
Okay, that's 1,000% better.
Okay, this sounds better?
Yeah.
Literally, like, ridiculously better.
Okay, well, anyways, so I just started dating this guy. And then, so we got high, and, like, I was, like, leaking out farts, but they were silent. And I thought everything was fine, like, it didn't smell, until it started to smell.
Oh, my God. There's no chance you're attractive. Do we have to hear from her? What do you think, Drew? Like, do you need to know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. First female caller. Come on. You got to hand it to her.
Sarah?
This is my least favorite human being in the world.
Yeah. Oh, poor Anderson with delicate sensibilities.
Well, I understand. She's pretty bad. Right. Sarah?
Oh.
Oh, good. She's dead. I hope she's dead. Hello, Chi-Chi.
Hi, this is Cece.
Hi, Cece.
So, hi, how are you?
Good.
How do you spell your name?
C-E-C-E.
Don't. Hey, LARPing Krista, don't flick me off. It's not my fault. What you spelled is Chi-Chi.
I'm sorry.
Everyone who's CC spells her name the way you spell it.
Or CECI. Sometimes CECI.
Hello. Go ahead.
Phonetically speaking, it's correct, I think.
Yes.
So when I was 18, I was really sick in the hospital, and I had a lot of problems with my digestive system.
What happened? Like Crohn's?
So I had some liver infection. I think it started as like a mono, but anyway.
Hang on. Did you have, was it like a monohepatitis? Is that what happened?
I think it was like a monohepatitis. They never really knew what happened. I just got better eventually.
But it was a hepatitis, though, liver inflammation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And?
So I was on all these medicines for like the scans and everything so they could see the digestive system. And I had really, really terrible gas, and I apparently was sharting myself, and a really hot nurse came in and was changing me to a table to take me to the MRI room, and there were stains all over the bed.
Ah!
Yeah, but look, you know, you're in the hospital. There's no dignity. Don't worry.
Dude.
Nobody cares.
I know, and
nobody
I know.
She's a chick.
Still really embarrassing.
She's a
know,
chick.
But still,
it's different. I got your back.
Thank you.
I got it, dude. It's different. I know you're right. I'm sure he was a medical professional. I'm sure the dude probably shrugged it off. But CC is mortified.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. This is good. The most embarrassing fart you've ever laid. That is our open forum. Mina, hello.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Well, this is always vivid in my mind still after all this time. In third grade, I farted super loud, and the entire class laughed, including the teacher.
Oh.
So I didn't know what to do because usually she would be the one to show sympathy or quiet.
Right, you would think.
But it was just so loud coming out of this third grader body, I suppose. But that wasn't the mortifying thing. The thing was that there was this girl in the class who just hated me, and she made it her mission to tell everybody else for the rest of fourth, fifth, and sixth grade that girl farted in third grade and in class, and just so everybody else in the school would know that I was the girl who farted.
So what's that evil person doing now?
I don't know, it was a long time ago, but you know, by third grade, if I really had to develop a quick sense of deprecating humor.
Oh, well, that's good. So you
good for you.
Turned into something positive. Well done.
Yeah.
God almighty. What's wrong with people?
I'm just impressed we got a few women callers. That's good.
Oh, dude. Women, I think, have more of the embarrassing fart than guys.
Yeah.
Because guys just go up.
They're embarrassed by all farts.
1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, my God. We have such good ones. Had to go home from class. Mom kicked him out of the car.
Oh, he was proud of that one.
Sharted in the suit right before my wedding.
Oh,
this is so good. Oh, there's one I don't even want to give away. I don't even want to give it away. It's so good. Yep. 1-800-LOVE-191. The most embarrassing fart you've ever laid. That's our open forum right now.
1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Start punching in the numbers now so you're ready when Loveline returns.
Tune in on Real Self-Knowledge.
All-new Rich Eisen Show.
What is it?
What is it?
Who better to tell you than Rich Eisen?
This is what we're going to have on the show. Just talking football along with music and movies and television shows. Interesting things of our pop culture landscape, of which the NFL is part.
And that's all you really want at the end of the day.
The Rich, Eisen Show.
Hold on a minute. This is probably my therapist.
Go to podcast1/Rich Eisen to hear every show.
Ready for this, Drew?
Yeah.
We're doing the open forum about the most embarrassing fart you've ever laid. Let's get right to David. David, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, believe me, it's our pleasure.
I got arrested for disorderly conduct and public drunkenness. They put me in a cell with about six other guys.
They put you in a what?
Cell.
In a holding cell.
A cell, okay.
Like a drunk tank.
A cell, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And?
We had been at Hooters. I was eating hot wings all evening.
Oh, that's never a good start to an evening.
And a cell. Were the other guys in the cell?
Yeah, there was like five other guys. Oh. I farted, and one of the guys actually got up, and I got punched in the eye for it.
Wait, you farted? You farted in the drunk tank, and another guy in there came and punched you?
Yeah, because, you know, it was a really small room. I farted, and the guy just got up. Punched me in the eye. I was only like 19 years old. I was using a fake ID. We went to Hooters. It was the first time I'd ever really gotten drunk like at a bar or anything. And they ended up sticking me in a cell by myself. All the jail people were laughing at me. All the other
Mike, wait. There's an important lesson in here. Remember what you've always said about your brethren?
Yep. It's right and it's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, farting and finding it funny is exclusively a white thing. Don't do that to a Hispanic. Don't fart on a black guy and think you're getting away with it. You will get punched or stabbed.
Like Rudy that punched me.
There you
exactly.
Go. There
yes.
You go. That's the point.
Listen, cholos don't play that. You notice? Rudy came back punching. Drew, if you could describe to me the ethnic makeup of the entire Jackass crew.
All pretty much white.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Name the Asian fellow on the Jackass crew. Oh wait. Name the Hispanic. Sorry. Who's the black guy? None. You know why? Because they don't play that. Only white guys laugh at kicking each other in the dick.
You're right.
Kick Rudy in the dick. I dare you.
He'll shiv you.
Yes, you're dead.
Yeah.
There's a great video that personifies this. Where there's this guy who's not funny, and he does these kind of like public pranks. And he goes around. One of them was he went up to people. He's like, hey, would you like to see my pot? And
guy with an accent?
Yeah, I don't know. No, a white guy. Yeah. And he goes up to like cops at one point in Venice Beach. He's like, "Hey, you want to see my pot?" And they're like, "What? What's wrong with you?" And he pulls out like a little cooking pot.
Yeah.
Well, he does this thing where it's like, "Hey, you want to touch my dick?" When it was like a some other type of euphemism.
Yeah.
And he does it all over Venice Beach, and everybody's like, "Oh!" He pulls out like a spotted can of spotted dick.
Yeah.
He does it to a black guy, and he said, "What the business is?" And cracks him in the face, knocks him out. One punch knockout. And it wasn't, he didn't even hesitate because they don't play that.
This is all
listen, only white people do tomfoolery. The cities don't have any time for nonsense.
Yeah.
What the business is? Did he really say what the business is?
Yeah. That's very common.
That guy's my favorite person.
I'm going to see if I can find that on
what
YouTube.
What the business is?
Yeah, what the business is. Bam! Hello, Alicia.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so my embarrassing fart was, it was a sharp, but. Anyway, it was in high school. I was on the cheerleading squad. So I was a freshman. And it was the day of the homecoming game, which is like a pretty big deal. So we're all in our cheerleading outfits and stuff. And I had like some coffee that morning. I usually don't drink coffee.
Uh-oh. Bad move.
And so we're going up the stairs like all of the cheerleaders up the stairs. I was kind of in the middle of the pack, and like I thought I had to just fart, but I was pretty wrong, and it just like got all over me, all over my cheerleading outfit, and it was all bad. We had a pep rally and stuff later.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so it was fun, but that's my story.
Hold on a second. Mike's showing us the video of the guy who comes
so
up.
So this guy, this guy's clearly in Venice Beach. He just ate a dude's pizza. He like walked, this guy doesn't know this person. He just came up and took a bite of his pizza. And this black guy stands up. Wham. Later. Later. Have a nice night.
And he's knocked out.
One punch knockout. Okay. And but that's not the only one.
This is all the same guy getting knocked out?
No, these are just, it's the pranks gone wrong. Drew, notice if you see a theme to all the guys who punch.
Yes, and the pranksters are all of a certain proclivity.
Yes, they're all white guys, the pranksters, Drew. Later, knockout, have a good night, sir.
That was the best punch I've ever.
This is the one I was talking about. Oh, no, this is the one I was talking about. Hey, man, you want to touch my wiener or whatever? Back the F up. Oh! Good night.
The second to last guy's punch was the best punch I've ever seen, though.
It was like a short uppercut. Yeah. Hello, Cody.
Oh, yeah. This is actually not me. It was actually my uncle. But we were out in Hawaii for his wedding, and we were at his rehearsal dinner. And the best thing is, the man likes going commando. So he was in a white suit.
Oh.
Leans over to me, and he's like, dude, I just sharted. And I just look behind him. The little brown spot starts peeking. We had to pull him out of the rehearsal dinner and get a shoot clean before we can ever go back to the wedding.
Wow.
Oh my god.
You know, I was thinking about the cheerleader that called just before the Cody. Didn't you send me a video of a cheerleader having an accident?
Poop to the dome. She crapped in her friend's faces.
Well, because she was being lifted.
Yeah, she was doing the lift.
Yes.
And just dropped bombs. And I sent this and I said, maybe the best video ever. And then I tweeted immediately after. I said, Micah Ranney just maybe sent me the best video I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, Micah? Yeah.
Poop in people's faces. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have another high school story.
Sure.
All right.
I was a freshman and I thought it would be a good idea to join the wrestling team.
Oh, okay.
And I was never good at sports, but I thought it would be fun, and I thought I would get fit. So it was preseason. I had begun all the training and whatever, and it was a preseason tournament or something, and there were people everywhere. And I had to wrestle this kid who took it super seriously. He was really strong, and he had just kind of just pinned me down immediately. Immediately he pinned me down, and with that pin, all the air ended up coming out of me.
Uh-oh.
And I was convinced that nobody had heard it, but there were people everywhere.
Oh, they sure did.
No way.
They sure did hear it.
Yep. That was my story.
Oh, that is so sweet. I'm so happy that happened to you.
Oh.
Hello, Emily.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi. So I have a funny fart story.
Yes.
I was playing Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Cousin back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I let a siren one out, and then I looked over at him, and he had a bloody nose.
Meaning?
I don't know if it was coincidence or it was just, but ever since then, he made fun of me saying that my fart made him have a bloody
nose. Made him bleed.
Are you disabled in any way? Are you?
No.
Okay. Of course it was coincidence. That's...
Don't screw up their story. Come on now. Keep going.
Hello, Sarah.
Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
So my story basically starts. I was camping with my family, and we were in Sequoia. So it's around, I think it was around 3 a.m. at the time, and I really, really had to go. I woke up, and my stomach was all bubbly, and I was like, oh, no, and I'm super scared of, like, the dark. So I asked my cousin to come out with me so that I can go drop a deuce. And little do I know, this actually happens to be the worst case of diarrhea I've ever had in my life.
Oh, good time.
and so I'm really uncomfortable with kind of just openly... going without anything underneath me.
So I basically turn around and beg my cousin to grab a trash bag and hold it for me.
Oh.
And like the trooper she is, she totally stood there for about 5 to 10 minutes while I'm just going at it. There's farts in between. Like, this is the worst case of diarrhea I've ever had in my life. And it smells terrible as well. And I felt so bad, but I really had nothing else that I could do in that situation. And so that's kind of my funny fart story, and
did
my
you guys
family likes to tell that.
At least get to laugh while this was all going on? Did you sort of see the humor in it?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Like, she was cracking up the whole time, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry. And, like, I felt a little violated at the same time.
Did you start crying?
I kind of had to do what I had to do.
You didn't start crying in the middle of it?
No crying, no.
Oh, okay.
No crying for my dacrophiliac, sorry.
I love you.
Thanks.
Hello, Patrick.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Glad I got through. I've got plenty of stories. All my friends know that I have the most disgusting, borderline vomit-inducing, room-clearing farts on the face of the earth. You guys mentioned it earlier, when I was a kid, my mom kicked me out of the van. She got furious. I let one rip, and I kid you not, she kicked me out of the van.
Woo! I'm so happy.
I got another good one. I was working on a construction project.
Nope.
Oh.
Hello, Tony. Tell us now.
Yo, so I was making my first Holy Communion, and we were doing a practice run before we had to go to church. And when the father, the priest, like, picked up, like, the Eucharist, the bread, when he was blessing it,
yep.
I was holding my fart, and I couldn't hold it anymore, and I let it go. And it was one of those farts that whenever you laugh, it keeps on coming.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was, like, right on the pew on the seat, so it was, like, a super tight fart. And then, like, everybody started laughing, and then they had to take me out of the church, and, like, I had to stay outside of the church because they thought I was doing that on purpose.
Winner.
No. Punched in the face by Rudy in jail.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I went to jail. Oh, I was young. I was a Hooters. I didn't know what to do. I was farting, and Rudy punched me in the eye. They put me in a cell, and the jail people laugh at me. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Thank you, everybody. That really did do its job.
Look at this one. The guy's putting a necklace on his girlfriend in front of the class. That's pretty good.
Farted in class in the Philippines. Sharted, had to go home.
Just keeps going.
Yeah. I'm so happy right now. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Now we'll take your calls regarding anything you want. It's Loveline.
One call is all it takes.
Exactly.
1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline's coming back.
Hello? Hi, it's me, Russ Matthews, America's gay. Listen, I get it. Life is hard. Okay, we all struggle. Boyfriend problems, girlfriend problems, job problems, life problems. Which TV show to watch? Honey, I get it. You need help. That's why I'm here. I'm the gay best friend you wish you had, and honey, you know you need. It's Straight Talk with me, Russ Matthews. This is tough love, honey, but it's worth it, like plucking or waxing. Get your weekly gay pep talk right here on podcastone.com.
One 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. I was talking about how you can't fart around ethnic people because you'll get KO'd. And sure enough, Dennis CEETV, he's like a prankster. That's what he does. Farting in the hood is this prank. Does not work out very well for him. I'm just watching a bunch of black people of various ages.
Just punching him.
Damn near killing him. Look, literally. He just ripped a fart, and he was, like, in this guy's general vicinity, and he's like, I'm going to knock you out. But then, see, look, whole white family. They just keep on walking. It's like, oh, silly man, he farts.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so good. Hello, Jerry.
Hello. Hey, what's up, guys?
I hear you're a race car driver.
How you guys doing?
What's up? We're good.
First time caller. Used to watch you guys on MTV when Adam Carolla was there.
Yeah.
I just started listening to it ever since.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What could you do for you now?
My question is, I can't get over a high school crush, you know. I went to counseling, you know. I still keep on thinking about her, you know. It just keeps on bugging me.
Okay. Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 32.
Wait. A high school crush? You're 32?
Yeah.
What's wrong? That's not okay. That's serious.
It is. My ex-wife even knew about it. I was married to him. Now I'm divorced, you know.
Because of this preoccupation?
Yeah. It's been haunting me. And then some nights, last night I was listening to music, you know. I don't know where I just start busting out crying for no reason, you know.
Thinking about this person.
Well, I think it probably is bigger than this high school crush then. There's something going on, dude.
Yeah.
Have you sought any therapy or anything?
I did, yeah.
And what'd they say?
Any luck with that?
He told me to read a book about heartbreak, you know. He said it doesn't matter if there's no attraction between the two, but it's still considered a heartbreak, you know.
Yeah. No, this is something much more serious. Have you ever seen a psychiatrist?
I did back when I was a kid. You know, I have ADD, you know, for that. You know, it gave me Ritalin, but after everything else, I'm normal, you know, healthy.
And is this a preoccupation that comes and goes?
Yeah, it comes and goes. Like, I cry in the middle of the night for no reason, too. Like, I listen to music. I don't know if I'm thinking about the person or somebody else, you know.
Or it hits me,
you know, it bugs me, too.
Or is it just that you have a depression, and when you get depressed, this is a thought that you have?
I might be, but I don't see myself being depressed.
Well, spontaneous tearfulness is a sign of depression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't know if you have obsessive compulsive disorder and your trouble with, you know, these sort of intrusive obsessions and obtrusive thoughts. Or but whatever it is, this has a biological flavor to it. I mean, you really need to see a psychiatrist in the worst way if you're still troubled by this. Maybe it is just a depression, and this feeling of the preoccupation with that person emerges when you get depressed, or whether there is some sort of obsessive problem. In either case, it needs treatment. This is disabling you. This is 15 years after the fact.
Thank you, Dr.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't – I hope you're taking – his advice to heart. I don't know if you're necessarily understanding the severity of this situation.
A little. I'm understanding a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. And it's not that, you know, you're not a broken guy. It's just that there's something a bigger. I think you're focusing on the fact that you have a crush or what you perceive to be a crush on this girl.
You're trying to make sense
of. It's much bigger than
that. Right. You're trying to make sense of how you're feeling and the thoughts that are troubling you and in your brain's attempt to make sense of things, you've decided it's a crush that's doing this. I don't think so.
Okay.
All right, dude?
All right.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Hello, Robert.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call.
It's our pleasure, sir.
What's up?
Sorry, I was choking. this morning,
you were choking?
Yeah, I was choking. I was eating a piece of candy.
Okay.
Sorry.
What kind of candy?
Sour. What is it, like the sour belt?
Oh, yeah. A guy tweeted me a picture, a gif of a girl with like thousands of them coming out of her butthole.
Oh, man. That's like my biggest fantasy.
That's sweet. Okay, so go ahead. What's going on?
So basically, this morning, my little sister caught me having sex with my girlfriend. Uh-huh. Like, she saw her like naked and like she totally freaked out. Like, she felt like really bad. She says that she feels really guilty and she's really hurt.
Wait, your girlfriend or the...
Yeah. Oh, no, my little sister, she's 21.
She feels guilty?
Yeah, like, she feels guilty, like that, like, if something was to happen, if I was to get a girl pregnant or if I got, like, an STD, that she could have prevented it, and she was, like, crying.
Aren't you 25?
Like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I saw, like...
No, it's not about what you think. Say that to your... Listen,
yeah, exactly
did she... Hold
said,
on, though. Did she... Hold on. Did she walk in on you because of your... incompetence in some way? Like, did you leave a door open, or were you having sex in kind of a public area? Or did she, accidentally walk in on you?
I was, being intimate with her, and then she walked out, and then my little sister walked out, too, so they saw each other. So she kept seeing having sex, so she knew exactly.
Tell your sister to shut her goddamn mouth.
I know, that's exactly what I'm saying, but I'm like, I want to be a little more sensitive to her.
Well, you don't have to be. I think you're doing a disservice to yourself and to your sister by being sensitive. Your 21-year-old sister is getting on your 25-year-old ass for having sex with your girlfriend. It's none of her goddamn business.
Damn. All right. Well, that puts it into perspective.
It's not like she's your 18-year-old sister and you're 15. I could understand. She'd be like, hey, watch yourself. You're a 25-year-old man and your 21-year-old sister is giving you crap. End of story. This is not appropriate. It's not okay.
All right.
It's something up with your sister. Huh?
First off, why are you around your sister at 25?
No. Like, I rent, from my parents.
You rent from your parents?
Yeah, I rent, they charge me rent for that room that I use. It's, disconnected from the house, but she just happened.
And where does your sister live?
My sister lives with my parents.
Why doesn't she rent?
No, she doesn't rent. She doesn't pay rent. I do. I have, a job.
Listen, I think we're...
That seemed like a trick question, though.
Hello, Miles.
Hi.
How's kilometers?
What's up?
Boom!
What's going on?
I've been listening to you guys for a while. You guys are awesome. It's been a long time. Really respect you guys.
Thanks, bud.
So I had a question. So me and my girl just started having sex. I'm 17, she's 16, and we're only using condoms. And I was wondering how I could get birth control, but her parents are really against it, and I really don't know what to resort to. I don't really want to rely on condoms as a major form of contraception.
Right, Planned Parenthood.
And would I need her to come with me?
Yes.
And does she need to fill out, paperwork as far as insurance?
Well, it depends on the Planned Parenthood. Everyone is individually managed, but many of them will just take a donation. That's it.
That's it? There's no, doctor or...
There's a doctor, but she's entitled to health care, confidential health care.
So I can go to any Planned Parenthood, and it's okay?
What did I say?
Well, what you said. But Miles is a little intimidated, and I understand. Miles is in a tricky...
I just want to make sure it's what I said.
I understand. But okay. Miles is 17. Yeah. We can cut him some slack. He's not a grown man.
No. I'm
Miles
just
is 17,
sure
and he's a little intimidated.
You go to Planned Parenthood. She walks in the door like anybody else. She says, I like birth control.
Okay.
All right, dude.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Give us a call if you've got a problem, a concern, anything. Maybe just something that doesn't sit right with you. You want to run it by Dr. Drew. Pick up the phone, dial 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline.
This is Loveline.
It's a groovy way of relaxing.
Sit tight. Loveline's coming back.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Mike.
I pretty much, I never bought anything online in my life until I met my wife.
Oh,
and,
seriously?
Now all I do is go to Amazon.
I buy pretty much everything Amazon. And if you want to support somebody that has an affiliate relationship with Amazon, you go to their website, you click through the Amazon banner, and at zero cost to you, Amazon shares some of the purchase price with the affiliate.
Why are you being so nice about it and saying somebody with an affiliate relationship?
You're right, Mike. I should be more specific. Forget an affiliate, some vague affiliate. Let's go to Podcast One, where you can find the Loveline podcast, the Loveline page. Bookmark that page and just click through on the Amazon banner located at the top of the homepage. You can even use the Amazon banner if you're in Canada or the UK. Makes it easy for all future purchases. Again, it is podcastone.com. Click on the Keep It Free banner to support Amazon and all the wonderful sponsors that make the show possible.
Hello, Nathan.
You live.
Hi.
Hello, Nathan.
Yeah.
I love your hot dogs.
For her phone number and my phone, and I was wondering if that was for business or pleasure.
So what does that mean, Mike, when a stripper puts the phone number, her phone number, directly into his phone?
Wait.
Yeah.
So she did it. Wow, that stinks. She did it unbeknownst to you?
Shields up.
Yeah, like I didn't ask her for it. Like she just gave it to me.
I think she wants your pito.
So it's not, it's not business?
Yeah.
Doesn't want his wallet?
Like she, if she wanted his money, she would be like, hey, I'm giving you my number. Let's, if, well, like if you,
can
you know?
Give me more context?
What?
Like it was after a couple private dances. Like she was like, okay, I'll give you my phone. Do you want my phone number?
Oh.
Yeah. The
then the jury's out. I don't know, man.
That's business.
Yeah, I think so.
It's business?
Yeah, anything with strippers business. Come on.
But
they laugh at men for how they are.
Mm. Where do you live?
Orange County.
Mm.
Don't, I mean, you know what I mean? They think men are foolish for being the way they are.
Yeah, but I've certainly known fellas to parlay strippers into sex.
Yeah.
I mean, it is common practice.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're right. I would think that their motivation with a lot of gentlemen is to...
Money.
To develop a good working relationship. But, I mean, I certainly know guys that bang strippers. You know, like,
and they meet during a lap dance?
Sure. I mean, I know that, like, ideally, at least I don't want to speak for the ladies of the exotic dancing world, but that's not, like, typical. Like, it's not, like, ideal.
How about somebody calls us who works as a dancer and tells us?
Shane Porter, African-American listener, fan of Loveline, supported... us N-words don't play that S.
meaning the shart.
Yeah, LMFAO, you're so right. And, yeah, it doesn't work out, okay?
Yeah.
Proof positive is the Jackass crew. There are no nicer, more amiable people on the planet than Johnny Knoxville and his crew.
Right.
There's a reason why they don't have any black guys or Hispanics. It's not because they don't like black guys or Hispanics. It's because they don't play that.
No, right.
They do not fool around with that. Yeah. Hello, Kent.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you, Mike?
We're doing great, man.
Hey, I have an issue where my wife and I met. We were on ecstasy, and, you know, we've been together for 10 years, married for 7. And, you know, when we party, we have such a deep connection. And, you know, when we're sober, we don't have that. You know, we got sober to have a kid. You know, we party every once in a while now. You know, but we just, you know, the marriage when we're sober just isn't like it is when we're partying.
Well, of course not. I mean, isn't ecstasy designed to help you create deeper connections with people? I mean, I think that is the main purpose of MDMA.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. But, you know, I feel like my wife, you know, is looking for that deep connection that we don't have normally, you know.
To get high off everything, including... your guys' relationship.
Exactly. You
and
know,
that's, right? not, yeah, that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because we both want to get clean for good. You know, we have a 5-year-old. We got clean to get pregnant and to have
no,
kids.
No, you stopped using drugs. You didn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be, you know, like job number one. And listen, I mean, how much ecstasy are you, I mean, frequently, how much, frequency-wise, how much ecstasy are you using?
Oh, we use it only probably once or twice a year now. But you know, we do cocaine. You know, whatever. You know, and it's not just ecstasy, but you know, whatever partying drug we're on or atmosphere. You know, we're able to just feel that closeness.
No.
Let's not say no. Kent's right, of course. When I was drinking and using drugs, I was much better at developing. At least in the moment, I was much better developing that connection with people.
But it's
artificial.
Right.
It's
using buddies built on high.
It's the best. When you are with a girl or a guy, I don't know, whatever your proclivity is, but when you're in a romantic relationship and you're both using drugs and you're both into it, it is the best. It is utopia. I mean, it is nirvana, utter nirvana. But it is the most disastrous thing you can possibly do.
Yeah, you're awash in endorphins and other stimulant reward biology that you start to associate with that that relationship, and the relationship only amplifies that reward mechanism and the euphoria of the endorphin rush,
and it's all a drug-fueled mess.
So, in your opinion, there's no way that we could both get clean while we're together?
No,
oh,
I didn't
we didn't say
that.
That, dude.
I didn't say that at all. I just said you got to don't look upon this experience that you share when you're using as something healthy or good. It's artificial. It's not
and,
for real.
And don't glorify it.
Yeah, don't romance it.
What's happening, Kent? Look at it this way. You're using cocaine, ecstasy, whatever it may be. Your wife is like just adding a Vicodin to that. That's all it really is right now. It's not a connection with another human being and development of intimacy. It is adding another drug into the mix.
Exactly.
Precisely. I mean, we've been together for 10 years, married for 7.
That's great.
I'm not saying your relationship is no good. Listen to me. I'm saying this thing you've romanticized is no good.
Kent, what I'm saying to you, and Dr. Drew's right, I believe that you and your wife love each other and have a real relationship outside of this. That's why I'm being so kind of enthusiastic with my response to you is that
okay.
I think it's worthwhile and I think it's worthy for you guys to really push forward with focus and discipline to try to rid yourself of all the drugs and alcohol. Because right now you are the only thing that's holding you together for 10 years is the fact that you guys really sincerely love each other. But it's
correct.
All behind this veneer of
house
drug
of cards
use.
Kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Is
exactly.
That what you're saying? It's a house of cards.
Yeah.
Market.
Absolutely.
You know, the deepness that we feel is not reality, and then complacency.
It's a house of cards. It's a house of cards. That's well said. It's a house of cards. Doesn't change the fact that it's an incredibly good-looking house of cards. You and your wife have a elegant house of cards, but it is a house of cards that can break at any time.
All those flat feelings you have when you're not high is more about your addiction than anything else. So you need to start going to meetings.
I'm sorry, but so the flat feelings we have is not indicative of our relationship. It's just that we're not high.
Exactly. And so, again, just the way you associate the high with the relationship, you associate the abstinence with the relationship being the issue, when in neither case is the relationship the issue.
Hello, Tina.
Hi. I'm calling because I dated a guy for a few years, and he recently cheated on me, and now he's with the girl that he cheated on me with, and they seem to be getting pretty serious. And I am the person that got cheated on with, and so I'm alone. And so I'm really struggling right now with having anger towards him and moving on with my life and not being bitter.
How long ago was this, the breakup?
We cut off ties probably like 2 months ago.
Oh, wow. You should be angry and bitter right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. He deserves it. Yeah.
I just want to know when it's going to end.
Oh, come on.
What's wrong? God damn it.
What's wrong with people?
Look at this.
What have you shown me? Oh, my God.
Wow, right?
Why do you show me these things?
Holy mackerel.
We have Tina back?
Yes, hi. Sorry. Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I'm so sorry. It was a slip.
So what was the question? Why the F what?
Why are things working out for him and not me? And
you don't know that things are working out for him.
Listen, and she's going to get – she gets this guy who's a douche, so good luck.
Yeah.
Right?
What are some steps I can take to just focus my energy and to propelling myself and
it's going to sound like platitudes, but it's self-care, nourishment, proper sleep, get enough exercise, and then keep good friends around you, people that actually care about you, who really, really have your best interests, and begin to hang out with people. Start dating and just enjoy going out and again, doing so to just take care of yourself and enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Have a good life.
Live your life. Hey.
Screw this guy.
Let's see. Foreside?
I know what that is, yeah. I can't imagine what
Hello,
she's...
Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time listener, first time caller.
What's up?
Happening?
So it's probably more of a
what's going on?
A question for the doctor.
Just tell us what's going on.
I got this thing I've had since I was like, I guess around 12 or 13 years old, and it's like these spots around the bottom of my
head. Oh, yeah.
but they're not. It's not an STD.
No,
but
it's these.
It looks so close to that, yeah.
Yeah, these Fordyce papules. Yeah, they're nothing.
It's just like they look. I have the few different girls that I've been with haven't really noticed them, but
they're nothing.
Yeah, they're not going to notice it. You know, it's interesting. I was doing some research on body dysmorphic disorder.
Yeah.
And they're starting to clarify all these men that preoccupy about their penis as a body dysmorphia.
Well, sign me up.
Yeah. Fordyce spots.
Anderson, what you got going on after the show? Corona's here.
Is there after disaster?
Doing a little after disaster.
All right. Everybody right tune in for that if that's your thing. Man your cannons. And
how could it not be your thing, really?
Because you guys are terrible. And this crazy
that's
mix
really
of world
kind
that
of
makes
you
think that
we're
nobody
also doing
cares.
A live show at the Improv again in Brea this time.
I'm going to ruin
sweet.
That. I'm going to ruin it.
Come by?
Ruin it. Who's going to ruin it? Who's going to ruin it? When is it?
It's December 22nd.
I will be in Puerto Rico. In this crazy
lucky
mix of world
man.
That makes you think nobody cares, we do. Be good.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
Loveline.
Loveline is produced by Ann Ingold. Engineered by Anderson Cowan. Executive producer Norm Pattis. Loveline is a presentation of Courtside Entertainment Group.
End of message.
The end of the perfect evening.
Something tells me the show's over.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.
When you're ready to buy a car, you got to go TrueCar because TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. Dr. Drew?
First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, second, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings.
Yes. And third,
it's simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience.
Some features not available in all states with TrueCar. You can save time, save money, and never, ever overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
That's TrueCar.com.